So if you have a will to connect deeper to people, get curious and let them tell the story, or just be a little more vulnerable. And then trust enough that first step to lead you to the next step.
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. Hey, it's Lisa, and it will come as no surprise to you who are familiar with the show that I value vulnerability. Sometimes I think my maiden name should have been Vulnerable instead of Valentine. I mean, why else would I admit to loving nachos so much, my kids with such a fiery passion, or dressing up as Mrs. Claus on social media? It's who I am, folks. Unfortunately, the word vulnerability carries some negative connotations with it, like weakness or being open to attack. And who wants that? It's no wonder a lot of people tune out or turn off when they hear that word. But here's another thought. In 25 years of marriage with my late husband, Christopher, we had a lot of conversations. Everything from exploring our dream of retiring in England or expressing our frustrations with one another to establishing our personal needs. Now, not every conversation was comfortable or easy. I'm looking at you, conversation of 2010, when he admitted that he wasn't really a fan of sharing food when eating out. But each of those honest and open moments build on each other to create a strong foundation for our relationship. And now that he's gone, I find myself missing the deep connection I had with him. But the way to get that, I'm now realizing, is by being vulnerable. Not the kind of vulnerable where you put yourself in peril and can't defend yourself from attackers. The kind of vulnerable where you choose to be honest and open and real with someone. Today's show is all about forming deeper connections in our most important relationships. Do you have a relationship that could use some work? I know I do. But vulnerability is the key that opens the door to those deeper connections. So that's why I brought my friend, Dr. Matt Townsend, on the show. As a well-known marriage educator and relationship coach who runs the Townsend Relationship Center, Dr. Matt has devoted 25 years to helping others strengthen their relationships. But he's also the first to explain that a key component of a strong marriage bond with children or friendships is, you guessed it, vulnerability. So as we talk about deepening our relationships with each other, we're going to tackle why vulnerability is essential to healthy marriages and family relationships, how to do it better, and what to do when we struggle with it. Matt and I go way back. We used to share the same studio at BYU Radio. And what I've always admired about Matt is, first, his love of French fried onions, but second is his ability to genuinely connect with and inspire people. If anyone can make you feel less vulnerable about being vulnerable, it's Dr. Matt. I started our conversation by asking how he's able to be such a genuine resource for others. Before I ask you about the specifics of increasing this emotional connection, I would be curious, where do you feel like your authenticity really comes from?
Yeah. You know what? I think it comes from having had difficulty doing it, relationships. The most authentic experience in relationships, I think, is getting the crud beat out of you and having the worst scenarios of your life hit you creates this, I think, genuineness about it. So for me, it was like my parents divorcing when I was young really solidified the importance of relationships for me. And then it's that Carl Rogers quote, that which is most personal is most universal. So the more you personally have felt the depth of something, the loss of somebody like you have, or the loss of just yourself, or the insecurity, the lack of love, I think all of those are the gateway to connection. They're all invitations to connect. And I think it increases your empathy for others, and then it increases your ability to get there. Except none of us want to have gone through what we went through to have to get deeper, but that's how it works.
That which is most personal is most universal. I'll be thinking about that for a long time. It's our deepest wounds and most tender places where we have the greatest opportunity to genuinely connect with each other. And this vulnerability doesn't just help us understand each other, it also helps us understand ourselves.
when people sit and tell me that they just need to go figure out who they are first.
Mm-hmm.
Like before they start connecting or relating or having a partner, I always look at them like, well, I don't know that that's how it works. I think you need to be in it to even know who you are, right? Because nobody pushes you harder than your most important relationships do.
Oh, yeah.
I also think it's the number one spiritual practice, right? I think relationships are the key to spiritual growth, to spiritual development, because who tests your value systems more, right? Who tests right. your identity more? And I don't even know no. that I know who I am, except in relation to my roles as a husband or a father or a son or a friend, right? So,
I
think we need people.
Having gone through a loss and the loss of the most important relationship that I've had, it really solidified that for me in my mind. And I do think that's interesting, like what you said, that a lot of people after a divorce or death of a spouse or a betrayal trauma, after so many like major issues in a relationship, the tendency is to withdraw, right? And say, well, I'm not doing that again. Or I need some time to be by myself to figure it out.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I think you do, but again, I don't think you figure it out by yourself, right? Because who would you figure it out with but you?
Yeah.
And the
and you're not
about,
a reliable source.
Like, look at us. Like, what do we know? I think we're actually wired to process communally, relationally, in community, right? So because we're social beings, we can learn how others process these grief and this pain. We can go participate. When I was studying communication theory and dialogue theory and conflict resolution theories, what I realized and what I learned is that the thing that is the therapy is the conversation. The communication is what's therapeutic. And it's not necessarily the therapist that's therapeutic, it's the talking to the therapist and the therapist listening, holding, attending to what we're saying and humanizing. So what I realized young is that if it's really the conversations that are the therapeutic thing, then what if we could just get better at communicating and conversing? And what if I could heal people by being a better communicator? And that's kind of where I've taken a lot of my direction is I want everybody to know how to be the therapeutic listener and the therapeutic inquisitor, right? And questioner. That's where, honestly, the healing comes. But most of us aren't good at holding that space very well, right? We don't hold it for people. We just kind of
think we do.
We fill it up. Yeah.
Yeah. We say things.
Yeah.
We fill the space.
Yeah.
We want to make it better.
Yeah.
So I'd love to dive into that. What do you feel like the biggest hindrances to that connection in relationships really are?
You know, I think a human issue that is part of kind of the natural tendency of all of us is we have an aversion to vulnerability. We are so averse to being vulnerable and we don't know how to then be human because we can't be vulnerable. Like right now we know that about 60% of millennials are having problems with attachment to their most significant people in their life. And some of that is because maybe as parents, we've overparented them. Some parents have way underparented. But in overparenting or underparenting, we make people more vulnerable. And when humans are vulnerable, then our natural systems of survival turn on and we become fighters, flighters, freezers, and pleasers. And the minute you're fighting in a relationship to make sure you're lovable, capable, belong, safe, or the minute you're flighting whenever you don't feel lovable, capable, belonging, safe, or the minute you're pleasing to be lovable, capable, belonging, and safe, it changes the game, right? And then so the vulnerability leads us to fight or flight survival, and then that leads us to really weird relationships and mechanisms we use to cope. A lot of them are what I call the overs and the unders. We go way over in our relationship. We over-communicate. We over-demand. We push too hard. We want to ensure what we're going to get to make sure it's going to happen. And then some of us go way under. We veg. We escape. We run from the closeness. And I think we're all missing each other as we're kind of vulnerably fighting. And then in one marriage, you'll have the chaser that'll chase, the withdrawer that'll run, then eventually you corner the withdrawer and then they come back and then we fight and it gets ugly and intense and then they both withdraw. That's just Sunday night. And then we wake up Monday morning and we do it all again.
Dr. Matt just shared some important ideas here that I want to recap. First, we are wired to process life with others, not in isolation. We all need connection. And it's in that very connecting and communicating with each other, not just our therapist, where healing happens. Second, one of the biggest problems in our relationships is that we are averse to being vulnerable. And when we aren't comfortable with vulnerability, we have the unhealthy tendencies to fight, flight, freeze, and please. Vulnerability, folks, it matters. Now, a lot of us aren't great at being vulnerable, and that probably started when we were very young. But the good news is that we don't have to stay that way.
It goes back to some of those scripts, and a lot of these scripts we created how long ago? We created them years ago, right? We created them when we were 8, dealing with our first initial fight or flight experience. And eventually, these scripts are so young in us, and that if we're on automatic pilot, we don't notice they're playing. And that's the benefit of our brain and our neuroplasticity of our brain, is that if we can actually be aware and notice it, then I can override as an adult my little script of my 10-year-old kid.
Oh, yeah. And I wish that more people knew about that neuroplasticity,
it's
that
power.
You can actually change it instead of the old cliche, well, I'm just like this.
Yep.
This is just how I am.
Old dog.
So thanks to neuroplasticity, say that 3 times fast, we don't have to stay stuck in unhealthy habits that prevent us from connecting with the people we love. We can actually train ourselves to become comfortable with vulnerability and scrap the script we've been reading from our whole lives. But how do we do that? Well, one way we can start to be more vulnerable is by being better listeners and better sharers.
We really are very good at default. Like, we go to default mode, not thinking mode. We're actually not thinking about what someone's saying. We're actually not thinking about what they mean. We think we know what they mean, you know, because they said it. So if we could be a little bit more present, a little bit more aware in the moment, it's power. One of the coolest things, Lisa, I've learned about communication is there's nothing more terrifying, really, than to have somebody honestly listening to you. It's terrifying because most of us have not had it done. We haven't had somebody.
It feels like
somebody,
you're on stage.
Yeah. We don't know what to do with it. And so I think we're just so used to kind of superficially listening. But when someone says, oh, I had the worst day, how many of you want to hear about it? Like, talk to me about it. What was the day like? Instead of saying, oh, you know what? Me too. Yeah. What did you do?
Yeah.
And then we just throw ours out there.
Mondays, am I right? Yeah.
Am I right? And so, but the power is if actually we could sit in it and be curious about it, really talk to me about it. What was your day like? And then the person actually gets it out of them for the first time. Instead of having this competition about whose day was more messed up. There's power there, right? There's healing.
Healing with our loved ones is possible, but it starts with conversations where we are actually listening and actually sharing when we are asked questions. It's a two-way street. And believe me, as a mom of teenagers, I know all about really wanting to hear what they have to say and not getting an ounce of vulnerability in return. I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about, the one-word answer with an eye roll chaser, but we can't give up. What we can do is grease the gears as parents by showing our kids that we are a safe space for them to share. We can put our phones down and make eye contact when we talk to our kids and spouses. We can stop looking at the clock and give the conversation as much time as it needs. And we can quit worrying about our own responses and focus more on our questions. That kind of listening is what can not only make our spouses and kids feel heard, but it can also make us feel connected. And that's what it's all about. Now, a quick caveat here for every parent and spouse hoping for a life-changing conversation today. Just know it may take time for everyone in your house to feel good about being vulnerable.
I hear all the time, you know, I don't have these problems with anybody at work, just you.
Interesting.
Just with you.
Oh.
Right? And what that might tell us is at work, you can manage your emotion better.
You have the skills.
You have the ability. You have the tools, and you also weirdly have people watching. You have the motives because your money's on the line.
Right, right.
So what I find is most of us actually can do all of this pretty easily. We just, with our most significant others, it's harder because we're never more vulnerable. Yeah. Nobody knows us more than they do. Nobody knows how messed up we are better than they do.
We may experience a learning curve and some defensiveness at home, but that's okay. When we rub shoulders with our loved ones, sometimes we can start to feel a little raw. I mean, they see all of our good, bad, and ugly on the daily, and it's understandable why we might feel uncomfortable sharing even more at home. They already know too much, right? So start small. Like Dr. Matt said, begin by really listening and abandoning the need to butt in or judge or compare. Just let the people you love talk. And when you are asked questions, do some vulnerable talking yourself. You have the ability to do this. You don't have to keep reciting the script from your past. You can rewrite it and you can learn a new way to think about things. Can anyone say neuroplasticity? Once we've committed to better listening and sharing, Dr. Matt says we're ready to delve into questions that can improve our vulnerability with each other. And this is especially true with our spouses.
A great way to do this is just go on Google and search questions to increase vulnerability in marriage and relationships. There's little card sets that you can go get and just start spending some time eye to eye talking and being vulnerable in questioning and learning and being curious about each other. Some great questions are like, what's the scariest thing you've experienced where you felt least capable of handling? And then we eye to eye talk about it and we both share openly. What's something about yourself that you tend to beat yourself up to negatively? And why do you think you do that? And then if we could just get really good at doing this, because if you notice, it's that eye to eye and that vulnerability that is what draws a lot of us together originally. It's those talks, but then we'd have these great long talks, but then we'd also cuddle and kiss. And so you're getting chemistry and vulnerability, and that's kind of a nice mix. Notice the level that you have vulnerability is the level that you could ask these questions, right? Mm-hmm. But one question might be a sincere, what can I do better? What can I do better?
Oh, that's a good one.
For you. To show up better.
But you got to be ready for the answer too.
and then sit and wait for the answer. And again, if you have a really strong capability vulnerability, because you're not capable, you won't want to ask that. What can I do to show up better for you? Another question you could just ask yourself in thinking about your partner is, what is it like for them to be in a relationship with me? What is it like for them? And then try to go take the place. Like, it's hard for my wife to be in a relationship with me because, like, I embarrass her and I put a weird demand on her. And when we go places, people think she's like me, or they think that our marriage is perfect. And she's just like, it's not perfect.
And she's so honest.
So what is it like to be your partner married to you? One thing I like to think about is, what did I not get from my parents and family and life that I want to make sure my kids are getting? And then once I have some ideas, I would go confirm that with them. Hey, I grew up not having a lot of this from my dad. So I've been trying more to bring that to you. First, I mean, does that matter to you? Does it matter, right? And you can ask your kids like the same question of, what can I do to show up better? And then one of the rules with all of this is wait and listen and just wait awkwardly. And they'll say, no, you're doing great, Dad. And they're like, I know I'm doing great. I'm crushing it. And I need some ideas. What can I do better? What can I do better? And maybe you'll have to ask it three times.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could say, can you just go think about it and then just text me something?
Yeah, I was going to say, have a couple of conversations about it.
And then sometimes texting helps. But to me, it's just, I really just think the spirit is vulnerability and learning.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back and do a little version of accountability. How did I do? I tried really hard this last week.
Yeah, I love the follow-up.
Especially if you have kids that are really kind of struggling and struggling with you.
Strong questions make for strong relationships, and not just for spouses, but for families in general. And I love these, and I can't wait to try them out on my kids when they come over for dinner on Sunday. They'll never know what hit them. Now, I realize that this may sound easy in theory, but feel hard in practice, and that's okay. Dr. Matt says there are places you can start if you're struggling with being vulnerable.
If you really struggled being vulnerable, because maybe you grew up not feeling lovable enough, not capable, not belonging, not safe, then I would go do some work. There's a great book called Hold Me Tight by Sue Johnson about attachment. And I would just be figuring out if you have any kind of lingering attachment issues. In that book, there's 7 conversations you can have with your partner. And some of those would be really good, valuable, vulnerable conversations.
I am always on board for buying another book. Just ask my Amazon cart. But I appreciate that there are good resources out there for helping us on our path to connection. Now, if you've heard all of this and you're tempted to think, well, this is fine and good, but out of the realm of possibility for you or someone you love, here is what Dr. Matt had to say.
Because it all sounds overwhelming, but I believe that everything you need to do this is already in you. So you don't need a bunch of stuff. You don't need all this intervention and therapy necessarily. You might, but don't assume that. Wherever there's a will, there's a way. So if you have a will to connect deeper to people, then just take one thing you've learned that we've talked about today, get curious and let them tell the story, or just be a little more vulnerable. Trust enough that first step to lead you to the next step. And then trust that step to lead you to the next step. You don't need to know the whole picture. You just need to know what's the thing your heart is telling you you need to do better. And just go offer that and then try it again tomorrow. We do it again tomorrow. It's a C.S. Lewis quote, right? Cross comes before the crown and tomorrow's another Monday morning. So we just do it again. Carry the cross, get the crown, do it again tomorrow.
It's so encouraging. I really appreciate the attitude that you have of this is worth the additional effort. And also you have that. It's in you already. You don't have to become a different person, have a different temperament.
That's right. Your core you, your core self, your spiritual essence is a connector. It is loving.
Yes.
You know it inside and out. You feel it. It's just we stray from it. And all we have to do is notice we're straying and then get back to it and offer it.
Trust that the first step will lead you to the next step and the next. And some of those first steps that we've talked about today can be actively listening in our relationships and asking questions that will nudge us towards a more vulnerable space with our spouses and our kids. When it comes to my own life, I sometimes joke that being vulnerable around people can be a minefield. Will you be accepted? Will you be judged? Hard to tell. So you gingerly take a few steps, believing that things could explode at any second. But after talking with Dr. Matt Townsend today, I realized that I'm not doing myself any favors by talking about vulnerability this way. Vulnerability can definitely be scary, and it does take courage, but we're made for it. We can change the script in our heads. We can listen. We can ask meaningful questions. We can share our own thoughts. And all of these little vulnerable steps are what will lead us to the heart of healthy, connected relationships with the people we love most. So instead of viewing our path as being lined with incendiary devices and impending disasters, our journey through vulnerability to better relationships is really paved with opportunity after opportunity for human connection. And that sure seems like a journey worth taking.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio, hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark. This episode was produced by Erica Price with help from Becca Hurley, Blake Morse, and Kenny Mears, with post-production by Kit Merrill. For more information on Dr. Matt Townsend, you can check out his website, matttownsend.com, or listen to his podcast, Becoming One. Also be sure to check out the new and improved Council of Moms wherever you listen. As always, thanks for your messages. We read them all, and thanks for listening.
I want to recommend another BYU Radio podcast you're going to love. It's called Uncomfy, Sticking with Moments That Challenge Us. It's brand new, and it has video as well as audio. So if you're someone who wants to engage with others on important topics but aren't sure how, or maybe you're burned out on social media and wish you could bring some humanity back into the discussions online or in real life, then Uncomfy is just for you. You'll hear stories of real people in challenging moments who chose to stick with the discomfort. And in the process, they healed their communities or learned to talk about what really matters to them or simply started to view others with more empathy. Isn't that what we all need? You can do it too. New episodes of Uncomfy, Sticking with Moments That Challenge Us, drop every Wednesday. And you can listen or watch on the BYU Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.